This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The roadrunner of cartoon fame is always running from Wile E. Coyote, and for good reason. The coyote is hungry, but not all animals are as fortunate as the roadrunner or as fast. They can't outrun coyotes, and in the last few years, that's become a problem in the Charlotte region. Coyotes can be found in all 100 North Carolina counties, but are increasingly being spotted in Charlotte-Mecklenburg neighborhoods, and not just the outlying suburbs, the closer-in neighborhoods, as well as the occasional pets succumbing to coyote appetites. How big a problem is this? Why are we having it? And can we peacefully coexist with coyotes who have the run of our front and backyards? We've invited a few experts to talk about all of that and more. Colleen Olfenbuttel is a certified wildlife biologist with the Surveys and Research Program in the Division of Wildlife Management with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission. She is also a black bear and fur bearer biologist. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you with us. Chris Matthews is Division Director with the Nature Preserves and Natural Resources Division of Mecklenburg County Parks and Recreation. Good to see you as well.
Good to be here.
And Jay Butfalosky is also a certified wildlife biologist with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. He's also a fur bearer and alligator program coordinator. Now, I know they have alligators in the Lowcountry. They don't make it this far north or west, do they?
Well, I can't speak about Charlotte, but sometimes we get some up in the upper reaches of South Carolina very close to here.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow, okay. This whole idea of doing a show about coyotes in the Carolinas came to me because I was talking to a friend who told me that three of her cats had disappeared, and the only thing that was they thought they had strayed away until they found one of the tails, which was all that was left. And their conclusion was the coyotes that they had seen roaming through their neighborhood from time to time. So how big a problem is this? I'm not sure who to give that question to.
I'll go ahead and start. We've been educating folks about coyote here in Mecklenburg County since 2007. It wasn't until a couple of years ago when we had an incident in South Charlotte when a rabid coyote attacked a dog, actually eight dogs, in the Cameron Wood neighborhood that I think people really started to take notice.
Now, for people who don't know, Cameron Wood is the neighborhood that's not terribly far from South Mecklenburg High School.
It's right across the street.
On Park Road.
Right. And so really since the 80s, I think we've seen an uptick in coyote here in Mecklenburg County. But I think especially in the past few years, people have really started to take notice of.
I always thought of these as Western animals, I guess because they're in the cowboy movies, or at least Midwestern animals. Am I wrong, or have they migrated for some reason?
You're not wrong. They are typically, or they were, a Great Plains species. But, you know, once European settlers moved into the Great Plains, pretty much extirpated the coyote's main competitor, which was mountain lions and the gray wolf. Between eliminating one of their competitors and then just the infrastructure that was built, you know, railroads, regular roads, and then just the vast amount of, I guess you could say, unnatural food resources that people bring in when they settle an area, that was just ripe for the coyote to expand. And so we have seen a steady expansion of coyotes from the Great Plains ever since European settlement until now, in which they've pretty much occupy every single state in the lower 48. But to be honest, you know, we've actually had coyotes since the 1930s. Back in 1938, we documented the first coyote in Gaston County. It did not get there on its own. It had some help from people. And from about the 1930s until about the mid-1980s, most of the coyotes seen in North Carolina were illegally brought in for sport hunting purposes. But we did start to see natural migration in, mainly from Georgia, Tennessee, starting in about the early 90s. So, you know, what we've seen in North Carolina is a combination of coyotes that established here, that were established illegally, and then a natural migration in.
How big a problem is this in South Carolina, and where is it a problem?
Very, very similar situation. Our first coyote showed up in 1978 that at least was documented up in the northwest portion of the state in the Oconee-Pickens County area. Mm-hmm. And also along that time, there was some illegal importation that took place for purposes of essentially hunting or pursuing with hounds. But, you know, as Colleen said, along those lines, we did get some natural immigration coming in from Georgia, probably some from North Carolina, Tennessee. And, you know, around the late 80s, early 90s, just about all 46 counties in South Carolina, you know, contain coyotes. And as far as problems go, we're just now, the last couple of years, starting to see some of these suburban-urban issues with coyotes pop up in several of our larger cities.
Now, Jay, you and Colleen have referred to these animals as coyotes, and I called them coyotes. So I'm just curious as to what their real name is. Are you just being – when somebody says, well, it's a coyote, I see a cowboy on a horse.
I had a supervisor one time say that was a manifestation of the Wile E. Coyote, because Wile E. rhymes a lot better with coyote than it does coyote.
So it really is coyote, and coyote came from the cartoon.
So whatever you want to call it.
It's whatever, yeah. I lived out west for a few years, and they say coyote out there,
yeah.
So I've brought that back to North Carolina.
And I'm a Charlotte native, and I call them coyote. So.
Okay, well, you and I are on one side of the table, they're on the other side. We'll duke it out here. One North Carolina state biologist that I read about said part of the reason for their expansion is their territory is naturally expanding because they're looking for food. And also because people have brought them in and released them. You're talking, that's what, when you say people brought them in for hunting purposes, is that what he means, brought them in and released them?
Yeah, when they brought them in, they either released them primarily for hound hunting, mm-hmm. Though we did have a few occasions in which people brought them in into what we call enclosures. So it's an enclosed area, anywhere from 100 to 500 acres, and they'd release them in these enclosures. That was illegal up until the late 90s to do so. But, of course, once you bring a coyote in, it's not good at staying where you put it.
Why didn't they just bring in one gender? Because it seems to me that this would – part of the problem also is that they procreate.
They procreate. They procreate well, anywhere from 4 pups to – in some extremes, we've documented up to 14 pups. So they procreate well, but
– how often?
It depends on the abundance of food in the area. If there's a high abundance of food, then you're going to see higher survivorship, higher reproduction. Mm. But I just want to note that even so, coyotes were brought in illegally up until about the mid-80s. Again, they started to come in on their own, and they would have established themselves on their own. It might just have been delayed a few years.
Wow. You mentioned that the wolves kind of diminished in numbers, and that led to some of their ability to expand. Do they have any natural predators in the Carolinas?
Not in North Carolina, except for man. I'd say man is the only predator on coyotes.
Same is true in South Carolina?
Yes, for the most part. As far as anything significant, yeah, man's going to be the only one.
I mean, for the most part, how concerned should we be? I mean, we have wildlife all around us all the time. We don't normally see it. We're not normally affected by it. I've seen foxes in Charlotte. I haven't seen a wolf, but how concerned should we be about these creatures?
From our perspective, as long as you're not doing anything that causes the coyote to be attracted to you, your home, you know, providing unnatural food sources such as garbage, dog food, you shouldn't really be concerned. Again, just take precautions to keep the coyotes from becoming habituated. Mm-hmm. And that is when the coyote identifies an area where there's plenty of foods and there's a lack of threat and it's almost getting rewarded for being near people. That's when the coyote might start to lose its natural wariness of people. Because again, coyotes have been persecuted for hundreds of years. They are usually very shy around people, especially in areas where they're hunted or trapped. But in a suburban environment, I call it a subsidized area, plenty of food with an absence of threats. And that's where we sometimes see coyotes become more visible. But despite that, we haven't really had any real problems. We have not had an unprovoked coyote attack in North Carolina.
I grew up watching cowboy movies and westerns, and the coyotes were always... the villain, I mean the animal villain in these movies, because they threaten the sheep and the cattle. Do they have an undeserved reputation for being a threat or a nuisance or something that needs to be dealt with right now? Is it undeserved?
Well, I think in rural areas people deal with the coyote issue differently than they do in urban areas. I mean, coyote will take calves when cows are calving. That's a pretty vulnerable time for livestock, and they will take them. Sheep, goats, can be prey for coyotes. So in a farming situation where there's livestock involved, I think that is an issue.
And Chris, you work for Park and Rec.
I do.
Mecklenburg County Park and Rec, and I know we have a lot of areas that are not – they're natural.
Right.
are coyotes a problem? Are there a lot of – do people spot them on the walking trails and things like that along the Greenway? I'm not sure you're responsible for the Greenway, but do they spot them there?
Back when the coyote attack occurred in South Charlotte, mm-hmm. we set up a website to have people provide us with information about coyote sightings, I think because people needed an outlet to talk about these things that they were seeing. I can tell you within the first 3 months of putting that website up, we had over 600 people send in what they thought was a coyote sighting. And since that time, we've got about 1,300 observations that people think they have seen or probably have seen coyote, you know, throughout Mecklenburg County. So I think people are seeing them. People see them in their backyards. They see them running across the road. They see them in uptown Charlotte. They see them on the greenways and the nature preserves and parks. They're pretty much found throughout Mecklenburg County.
And Jay, you're located in Columbia. You drove up here from Columbia this morning. What kind of situation do you have in Richland and Lexington County, which are the Columbia?
Well, we're just starting to see in the last couple of years some coyotes kind of move into more of that suburban-urban interface. And what we tend to see is neighborhoods and developments that are connected or interconnected with some type of feature, whether it be railroads, power line right-of-ways, green spaces, as Chris has said, and these other features that allow a coyote to move from one location to another, as well as to have enough places that support small mammals, things that they normally eat, that allows them to kind of survive and thrive in these areas. We're just now in the Columbia area starting to see things pick up in some of these surrounding neighborhoods over the last couple of years. And in a lot of cases, as you had mentioned in your opening, you know, one of the first signs it seems to be that the cats start disappearing. And even then, in a lot of cases, people don't see coyotes in the area. And a lot of times it may be based on the amount of visibility in the area. Things that are very wooded, they're not seen very often, it's very open, they can be seen a little bit easier.
Can you compare the situation in Columbia with that of York and Lancaster County, Rock Hill, Fort Mill, places like that?
Well, I'm not as familiar with those areas. I don't get as many calls from those locations, and of course I don't live there. Mm-hmm. But I assume you're going to have similar situations in all these suburban areas that have enough green space that'll support coyotes and support the movements of coyotes.
What is it about? Where do they like to live? Let's talk about that first. Where do they make their den, for lack of a better term?
Well, you know, coyotes are very adaptable. So what we thought they would use has changed because they do adapt to the changing landscape. Typically, coyotes do like to be in brushy areas, you know, along what we call an edge habitat. Mm-hmm. So golf course would be a perfect example. We have nice open space, kind of like the Great Plains, you know, where they used to reside. But then you've got some nice brushy areas that not only provide for a lot of small game species for them to eat, but also hide and cover.
I want to find out when we come back what they look like and why open spaces are so attractive. You think they want to stay hidden, but we'll talk about that when we come back. Coyotes in the Carolinas, Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
And this is Charlotte Talks on WFAE 90.7, your source for in-depth news. Support comes from WFAE members and Novant Health, presenting a conversation on cancer risk. Medical professionals lead the discussion on family history, screening options, diet, and nutrition. September 10th, registration at 704-384-2273. Join us tomorrow morning at 9 for Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins. It's the region's exclusive forum for the discussion of politics, growth, the arts, culture, social issues, literature, human interest, the environment, and more. If something is of interest to people in the Charlotte region, listeners and leaders know the topic is bound to be discussed on Charlotte Talks.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, millions of people enjoy the flexibility of freelance work, but it comes without benefits and job security. The risks and the rewards of the new freelance economy.
Tune in to Diane Rehm from 10 to noon here on WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. I feel like howling this morning. I don't know why. We're talking about coyotes, or coyotes, in the Carolinas with Colleen Olfenbuttel, certified wildlife biologist with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission, Jay Butfalosky, who is a certified wildlife biologist as well with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, and Chris Matthews, who's a division director of Nature Preserves for Mecklenburg County Parks and Recreation. You said that they like railroad tracks and high-tension guy wire, electric wire transmission areas because those areas have been cleared. They like open spaces.
Well, I think probably more importantly, they provide travel corridors and connectivity between areas.
Really? Why can't they just walk from forest A to forest B?
And they can, and they can walk straight down the road.
Yeah.
But some of these places do provide you know, some cover as well as some
tall grass and things.
Right,
like
as well as some food too. But it does provide them a way to connect from one, you know, one large habitat or other habitats, and in a lot of cases without being seen very much.
It occurs to me that people may not have seen them. They may, you know, they know what wily coyote looks like, but they've never seen a real one. What do they look like? How would you know if you spotted one, how would you know it wasn't a fox or a dog or something else?
Well, I think that for most people, a coyote is going to look like a big furry dog. Big furry tail, long snoot, very long, kind of loping legs. They can be variable in color. They can be reddish. They can be gray. They can be matted. I do get people that send me pictures thinking that they have coyote in their yard, and it ends up being a fox. So fox are obviously smaller.
How big are they in comparison to your average?
I think a coyote around here probably is 35, 40 pounds, maybe 45 pounds.
Tall? I mean, are they short dogs, tall dogs? I mean, coyotes rather?
24 to 30 inches in height.
So what would that look like to an average dog? I mean, what dog would that most closely resemble?
Like a border collie?
I'd say border collie, yes.
And they kind of look like collies, don't they, with their hair, the length of their hair?
Yeah, another key idea is they have just these large, erect, pointy ears,
mm-hmm.
you know, that just really stand out. I mean, and as Chris said, they're just, the whole body is lanky, you know, long legs, long snout, long ears, you know, everything's kind of stretched out, you could say. But as Chris said, they come in quite a few different color varieties. I mean, we even have black coyotes mm-hmm. in North Carolina, I'm sure South Carolina also.
Sure.
So it is very difficult, unless, you know, you're used to seeing these animals as we are, to sometimes differentiate.
Are they afraid of people, or like raccoons, will they come right up to you?
Well, I think in Charlotte, we find that they're not scared of people as they would be out in the rural areas.
I mean,
well, because they're just used to people being around. You know, you think of Central Park and sitting on the bench and having squirrels and pigeons walk up and take peanuts out of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
A coyote, you know, on a greenway sees people every single day, and people don't chase it. They don't throw things at it. They don't run after it. And after a while, a coyote just ends up learning that people are around and people aren't going to mess with it, and it doesn't really need to be afraid.
So how close would they get to you if they're not afraid of you?
Well, it's hard to say, because I think almost every animal has some distance that it's comfortable with being mm-hmm. away from you,
right.
Knowing that if you come any closer, I can still get away from you. I think what you have in problems in some of these suburban settings is that distance gets a lot shorter, because they haven't been chased. They haven't been shot at. What you see in rural areas, coyotes that are very, very visible tend to be very dead, because, you know, people persecute them. They'll shoot them on sight, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of what they're doing. But in these developed areas, because, you know, some of those traditional means of control are not really available, they do get habituated to being around people, and so they are much more visible. So that distance that they're kind of comfortable with starts to shrink. And the closer they get to being with people, the higher the rate of potential negative kind of confrontations.
So if the fringes of golf courses are where they are, one place that they feel comfortable, and you have a home on the fringe of a golf course, as many people do, and you see one of these creatures, should you feel alarmed, or are you fairly certain, unless they're rabid, that they're not going to attack you? They're not going to come after you. They're not going to go after your child playing in the yard if you're not out there ready to scoop them up at a moment's notice.
You know, as Jay said, I mean, every animal, including coyotes, you know, they kind of learn, you know, how close they can be and still be safe. So, you know, if you see one in your neighborhood or your backyard, I wouldn't be alarmed. Again, we've had very few instances of actually coyotes attacking people. And when it has, it is where a coyote's rabid, which is fairly rare. Mm-hmm. We've been tracking rabies in animals since 1993 when raccoon rabies first got into North Carolina. And since 1993, over the past 20 years, we've had 12 coyotes test positive for rabies. Now you compare that to we've had thousands of raccoons, thousands of foxes. We've had more cows and horses test positive for rabies than coyotes. So it's very uncommon. The advice I give people, if you see a coyote in your neighborhood or your backyard, just make sure you're not doing anything to attract that coyote, such as a bird feeder. Bird feeder is just a hot spot of prey for a coyote. You know, it attracts squirrels and birds. Well, it's going to attract a coyote and possibly other critters such as raccoons and foxes.
And is the coyote looking for the squirrels and birds, not the bird seed or the bird feed?
No, it's focused on the squirrels and the birds. You know, it might eat the seeds, but it's not getting much energy from that. So, no, it's focused on the prey item. So we encourage people, you know, remove that bird feeder. The birds will be fine. There's lots of natural foods available. So remove that bird feeder. Make sure that if you feed your pets outdoor, take up the remaining pet food, and that should really dissuade any coyote from having any interest of being around your house.
But if you have a small dog or a cat, or even if you have a small child you let them out in your backyard to play unsupervised, is there any reason for concern? Would a hungry coyote necessarily go after a human child? Would they go after a small dog? We know they go after cats, so would they?
There are very few known instances of coyote attacking people nationwide. It has happened. I think there's a couple of instances out in California. I think it's important for people to realize that the human is not anything that the coyote is interested in, mm-hmm. whether it's a small child or, you know, an adult. I think if a child is small enough to where you would be worried that a coyote might attack, then you would also be outside with that child because the child would be that small. A group of people, a group of children, a group of school kids is not anything that a coyote wants to even interact with.
Are they social animals, or do they travel in packs? Do they live in packs, or are they pretty much loners after they're turning into adults?
They can be fairly social. You know, they have their, you know, there's the pair, the mated pair.
And they mate for life, right?
Well, or until that one of the mated pair either, you know, dies or, loses his place to another coyote.
Okay.
So, but they do only mate, you know, with one other coyote every year. They can be quite social. Sometimes the pups, instead of dispersing, one or two or maybe several might stay with the parents for another year. It really partly depends on the natural food supply. We see where there's a lot of natural, abundant food. You might tend to get coyotes being more social just because there's plenty of food to share among all the members.
So are we spotting them in our neighborhoods because our neighborhoods have encroached on the natural areas that used to be undeveloped, or is their population growing to the point where they just have expanded their territory?
Well, I think in a lot of situations, some of these developments create great habitat for a number of species, especially species that kind of tend to thrive on the edge. Mm-hmm. And on the edges of habitat types is where a lot of small mammals, rodents, and things live. And what you tend to see in those places is species like coyotes, they do well. And in those areas, they're not shot at, they're not trapped because you know, a lot of times those methods are no longer available.
Right.
So they tend to thrive. You know, certainly our populations are increasing. to a degree that I think what we're seeing in a lot of cases, while we've had them statewide, at least in South Carolina and I take it in North Carolina, you're starting to get infill in some of these areas where they're finding locations to kind of live, and they're adapting to these urban suburban environments.
I would think, like any species, they want to protect their young, and this is the time of year when they're giving birth. Does that pose a threat? Suppose you're walking down a nature trail or you're mowing the grass in your backyard, and you stumble upon what they've decided to set up as their den. Are you in danger? Would the mom and dad protect the pups?
We've had a couple of occasions where a den was set up close to a greenway trail, and we have felt that even though there haven't been attacks on people, if someone's walking their dog, we have a lot of people that, to be frank, don't obey the leash law. And so they let their dogs loose on the greenways and in the parks and in nature preserves, which is actually not allowed. Mm-hmm. And what happens is the dogs run around, they'll run off into the woods, they will get into the coyote territory, and the coyote will chase them out. And so we've had instances where people have had dogs off leash and on leash, to be honest, to where we've had some, you know, more aggressive interactions. We've closed the greenway trails down. If we have additional issues with things like that, we would actually hire a trapper to come in and remove that particular group of animals from that greenway location, just to make sure that everyone's, you know, being safe.
Some things have been coming in on Facebook and Twitter and our email address while we've been talking. Jackie on Facebook writes, I live in a subdivision called Lake Ridge that's being built in Tiga Cay, South Carolina. We have a pack of coyotes that live in the woods surrounding our neighborhood. We hear them howling almost every night. It sounds like a pack of at least 20. My neighbor's dog was attacked, but luckily not hurt badly. We are afraid to let our children go into the woods. Sometimes it's frightening to sit outside after dark. It is very peculiar, but every night, around the same time, the dam between Lake Wiley and the Catawba River makes a loud siren, possibly signifying a change in water level. Whenever the coyotes hear it, they start howling.
Yeah, it's interesting. And some dogs will do this, too. Sirens, train whistles sometimes will kind of elicit some type of vocalization from coyotes.
Something in their hearing that they're hearing that we probably don't hear.
Well, it's just I don't know exactly what prompts it. Years ago, I had a dog that would kind of do that too. You know, just these loud kind of noises. It would set it off, and it would howl.
Donna tweeted that she knows of coyote spottings in Stonehaven, which is off Raymer Road. And you're nodding. Yep, that's mm-hmm. true. Somebody who identifies themselves as Tom in Mint Hills. This is very confusing the way this is put. Merriam-Webster lists the three-syllable pronunciation that you used as the standard one, I guess coyote, and the two-syllable version used by two of your guests as the chiefly Western U.S. version. So now we know that there's a great divide at the Mississippi River over coyote and coyote. Megan on the web also says, as to the etymology of the word, it is derived from the Spanish coyote. So the preferred pronunciation is coyote, with the Americanized version coyote listed in most dictionaries as a secondary pronunciation. So keep it up, Mike. You're right. Jen tweets, last summer I watched a large, beautiful coyote strolling along Wolf Street and Fulton Avenue in Plaza Midwood mm-hmm. one night.
Yep.
That's so in town, it's unbelievable.
It's one of our hot spots, actually.
Really? Yep. Where are the hot spots in Charlotte and in Mecklenburg County?
Well, yesterday I went through by zip code about 400 observations that we have collected. And there are probably 35 zip codes or so in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
13 of the zip codes account for 83% of all the observations. The one that we get the most from is in the Prosperity Church area, so up by the university.
Okay.
The second one that we get the most comments from is around the Arboretum area, which is where I live. We get them around the airport a lot. We get a fair amount around the Park Road Shopping Center area.
Really?
Yep.
What brings them there? The Greenway?
I think Greenways are there. I think that If you look at all these zip codes, one of the things that kind of stands out to me just from looking over, you know, really briefly, is that there are large open spaces, including golf courses. So in a lot of these areas, the Plaza Midwood zip code, mm-hmm. Charlotte Country Club is right smack dab in the middle of that zip code. So I think that what we're seeing is that if we have a large open space like the airport, like a golf course, like a nature preserve, that is going to be a place where you're going to see coyote persist because that's where their food is available.
I live not terribly far from the Greenway, and I've noticed an increase in wildlife in my neighborhood because I think I'm attributing it to the Greenway. It's become like a superhighway for animals. Is that essentially what's happened here?
Our Greenways act as wildlife corridors. So in addition to allowing people to recreate and in addition to providing for water quality because we leave the trees along there that will allow the deer and fox and all these other animals to have a place to live.
Does that make it dangerous for humans to walk, particularly after dark? If you want to use the Greenway to bicycle along or take an evening stroll along, is that something, because we've essentially said, hey, wildlife, this is your highway, are we endangering ourselves?
We have no reports of any attacks along Greenways.
Okay. Harriet on Facebook says, my dog and I were chased by a coyote a few years ago in James Boyce Park. She was only 6 months old and about 15 pounds, and I thought she was going to end up as a snack. But I think the coyote just wanted us out of there. Really scared me. I never knew what strange noises they make until then, a sort of half-bark, half-howl noise.
Yeah, we hear those stories again. Coyotes view dogs two different ways, especially this time of year. One, the smaller dogs, unfortunately for that small dog and the owners, they do sometimes view those small dogs as a snack, as a prey item. You know, they don't recognize what the collar around the neck means to them. It's another prey item. The larger dogs, especially at this time of year, are viewed as trespassing on that coyote's territory and potentially a threat to their den. So sometimes when we see interactions between coyotes and large dogs, it is because the coyote is acting territorial. And you do see that this time of year, again, they're raising their pups, they're trying to protect them. So that can occur. We don't see it so much, though, when dogs are leashed. When dogs are leashed and secured, because that dog is so close to the owner, as Jay and Chris have mentioned, coyotes, when that person's nearby, usually they keep a safe distance away. There's still some wariness in coyotes that they want to stay a safe distance away from people.
Mm-hmm. And we don't want to change that wariness, I take it, by offering food or bleeding food out for them.
I think even in some areas where they tend to have the most negative coyote interactions, coyotes are either being fed intentionally or unintentionally, whether it be people setting out food for them, thinking they're doing a good thing. You know, especially this time of year, they've got young, so we'll make sure they got food for them. So people mistakenly put food out, as well as leaving dog food out at night in some areas where even in subdivisions that have little parks, leaving food and trash where it's accessible. I think some studies have shown that where you tend to have most attacks is where they've kind of associated people with food.
So we're going to talk about what they eat and what you can do to discourage the use of your yard by coyotes, among other things, when we come back.
And you're listening to Charlotte Talks here on WFAE 90.7, listener-supported public radio. And support comes from WFAE members and Southeast Anesthesiology Consultants, caring for patients' safety, needs, and comfort. Information on facilities SAC serves is available at saanesthesiology.com. Coming up on the Diane Rehm Show, millions of people enjoy the flexibility of freelance work, but it comes without benefits and job security, the risks and rewards of the new freelance economy. And then in hour two, in John Hunter's fourth grade classroom, students tackle global problems using a game. The teacher explains the World Peace Game and how it's informed his education philosophy. That's all coming up at 10 on the Diane Rehm Show here on WFAE.
With All Things Considered, you can turn your ride home into an escape, exploring a world beyond the headlines. All Things Considered finds stories you haven't heard, interesting perspectives, innovative ideas, and voices beyond the ordinary. Join us for something new and unexpected every afternoon. It's All Things Considered from NPR News.
Weekdays from 4 to 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about coyotes in Charlotte with Colleen Offenbottle, certified wildlife biologist, black bear fur bearer biologist with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission. Jay Butfoloski is a certified wildlife biologist and a fur bearer and alligator expert with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. And Chris Matthews is a division director at Mecklenburg County Parks and Recreation. Before we talk about what these coyotes eat, one of the things that they do eat that we know that they eat are cats. And you wanted to talk, Chris, about feral cats and feral cat colonies.
Yeah, so one of the things that we find here in Charlotte-Mecklenburg is that there are a large number of feral cat colonies, which are cats that really don't have owners anymore. They congregate oftentimes in open spaces like parks and nature preserves or along greenways. And we have a lot of well-meaning citizens that support the cat colonies by feeding them, putting water out, or other things. And I have to mention that this is a great way to draw coyote to the cats, because not only will the coyote feed on the cats, but they will also feed on the cat food that's left out for the cats. It'll attract raccoon, possum, all these other wildlife. And so even though people mean well, they are inadvertently possibly bringing an end to this cat colony that they're supporting. So we encourage people not to do that, not to feed feral cats. Cats are very good predators on their own. They can fend for themselves quite fine. This is just one of the things that we try and educate people about.
Yeah, we somebody attached a camera or cameras to cats, and It's been eye-opening what they spend their day doing and killing and eating. What do these coyotes like to eat? Are they carnivores? Are they herbivores? Are they omnivores? What are they?
They're omnivores. And pretty much coyotes will eat whatever is most abundant in the area. In a way, they're just like people. They're trying to be as lazy as possible, conserve as much energy, and expend as little. So whatever's most abundant and easy to catch, and that's small animals. So squirrels, rabbits.
Mice,
rats. What we see also is during certain times of year, suddenly berries will pop up into their diet. You know, when berries are out and fruiting in the summertime. During the hunting season, we sometimes see that they'll definitely scavenge on deer carcasses. Because, you know, hunters are out in the woods, and so the coyote definitely keys in on that.
But they take down deers themselves?
They can. It's difficult, but they can. I wouldn't say it's a significant factor on our deer herds as of yet in North Carolina. We're still actually doing research on that. But again, their key is trying to find something that's small and easy to eat and very abundant. And so that's usually what we see in their diet. And again, it changes season by season, even week by week. Mm-hmm. A coyote's diet can change.
Are there things that you can do as a homeowner to make your property less attractive to these animals? In case you are concerned, you have small pets, et cetera, just you want them not in your yard or near your yard.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, one of the best things you can do is if you have a bird feeder, take it in, especially in the summertime. Again, the birds are fine.
Take it in at night, or can you put it out in the daytime and take it in at night?
I would recommend just removing it altogether, just because, again, that bird seed, even if you take it in, when it's out during the day, there's bird seed all over the ground, and that's going to attract the squirrels and the small birds, even once you bring the bird feeder in at night. So we recommend in the summertime, take that bird feeder in. That way you're not creating a hot spot of prey items for that coyote. We also recommend, as Jay mentioned, to not leave pet food outside, because a coyote likes that just as much as your dog or cat. And then some of the other ideas are to secure your garbage. Again, you're trying to prevent the coyote from having access to some of these unnatural food resources that are provided in a neighborhood. And then the last thing I'd recommend is maybe just clear out some of the brushy areas in your yard, because, again, that's great hiding cover, not only for the prey species that coyotes like to eat, but also for the coyotes themselves.
But if they subsist on plants and berries and things like that, are there things that gardeners are doing that they don't realize they're doing that might be attracting these creatures that they could stop doing if they didn't want them hanging around?
I think we find that they're mostly carnivorous as the primary source of their diet, and they just supplement that with you know, fruits and berries.
And you mentioned, Chris, that your organization, the North Carolina, the Mecklenburg County Parks and Recreation folks have developed this web site and a web form as a way of reporting these creatures. I mean, what information are you looking for when you go to that to make a report?
Well, we found that people wanted to talk about coyote, and my email was getting crushed, and my phone was getting hammered. And so we felt like the best way to do this was to provide people a web-based opportunity to, you know, tell us what they've seen. So if you go to parkandrec.com and go to the Nature Preserves and Natural Resources section, there's an area, a button or a link over on the right-hand side that says Report a Coyote, and you can go in there and enter some data in and tell us what you saw. And that's how we've created, you know, some of the mapping that we have here that kind of shows where the hot spots are for coyote in Mecklenburg County.
Do you want people to, if I look out the backyard tonight and I see a coyote out there, do you want me to report it?
We would love to know exactly where we're seeing them because, you know, we partner with Colleen here in North Carolina to try and help educate people on it. And so we really do want to know where we're seeing the animals.
Is something similar going on in South Carolina, in the upcountry of South Carolina?
I don't know that we have anybody documenting sightings like they are doing here, which is pretty interesting. So I'm unaware of anybody that's actually documenting other than just on occasion people reporting them.
But when a person reports, should they expect action as a result of that report, or is it simply for your purposes of figuring out where the population of these animals and also where they like to be?
Yeah, for about 2 hours I tried to get up with people that reported them, and I found that there was no way that I could possibly get back with everyone. And so what we tried to do instead is to, you know, get on media like here or in the newspaper or on TV and just help provide people with more information about it. But it does allow us to know where we can expect, you know, to have possible issues.
Do we have any idea what the population, the coyote population?
That is a very common question. We don't. There, you know, not only coyotes, but a lot of wildlife, it's very difficult and expensive to actually come up with a population number. And coyotes in particular, as soon as we would have a population estimate, it'd probably change a month later because they move around a lot. They're dispersing a lot. NC State here in North Carolina did a study on coyotes on Fort Bragg, and they had quite a few coyotes that dispersed off the base, and actually one went up into Virginia to Richmond, and two went down into Jay's territory, down into South Carolina. You know, we're talking about dispersals of 100, 200-plus miles. So they are really good at moving around. So no, we don't have a population estimate. We do know they're in all 100 counties. We had them out on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, the Barrier Islands, as of 2009. And just based off of observations from the public, and we do try to monitor the harvest of coyotes by our trappers and hunters, it does appear the population is continuing to increase. And the main reason is their population is limited by food, and right now we have plenty of food for coyotes.
What is the official North Carolina and South Carolina policy with regard to being able to hunt or kill or trap these animals?
You know, right now in North Carolina, we have basically tried to have it in a way that if you have a problem with coyotes, that you can have the tools needed to resolve that issue. And usually it's a problem with an individual coyote. As mentioned earlier, especially in our rural areas, the coyotes sometimes do prey on livestock. And we want to make sure that those farmers have the tools on hand to be able to remove those individual problem coyotes.
North Carolina permits coyote hunting during the day.
Yes.
But the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission is proposing that coyotes and feral pigs be hunted at night with guns, except on Sundays when only bows and arrows could be used. I'm not sure why that is, but okay.
Yes, and actually we did pass those rules. So except for five counties in eastern North Carolina where we have not only coyotes but red wolves coexisting together, except for those five counties, you can now hunt for coyotes during the day but also at night with a light.
Now, this is in rural counties. You can't do this in Mecklenburg County because it's an urban county. So what are your options in Mecklenburg?
So in Mecklenburg County, if you have a coyote attack on a companion animal, like a dog or a cat, you can contact Animal Care and Control, and they are likely to respond.
But if you have if you're a licensed gun owner, this coyote attacking your pet, you can't take a gun out and shoot it in the backyard?
It is illegal to discharge a firearm within the city limits of Charlotte.
Just wanted to check on that. What about South Carolina?
Well, in South Carolina, things are a little bit different. There is no closed season on hunting coyotes if you have a hunting license. Now, within 100 yards of your house, if you're still on your property, you can trap or shoot damage-causing coyotes without any kind of license or permit from Department of Natural Resources. We do have some night hunting that is allowed, depending on the time of year. Depends, you know, different weapons are allowed at different times of year, from the end of February to July 1st. If you register with the department, and we have an online registration on our website now, you can use essentially any legal firearm, bow, crossbow. However, if you use a centerfire rifle, you have to be from an elevated position 10 feet off the ground. At other times of year, you can rimfire rifles, bows, shotguns with BB shot or less to use them at night hunt. You can use night vision, whatever your pocketbook can afford.
What about trapping? I know that one of the leading privately owned animal control companies doesn't trap them because they are afraid that pets might step in the traps and cause much more bad public relations than trapping a coyote and disposing of it as a result of having trapped it. So what are your options? Because if these privately owned companies won't trap them, what do you do?
Well, oftentimes, to be honest, in most scenarios, the coyote doesn't need to be trapped and removed. Overall, a coyote being seen in the neighborhood is not a cause for concern. Coyotes are everywhere now. They are here to stay. That's one message that I know all of us try to emphasize with the public is we're not getting rid of coyotes anytime soon. The West has been waging a war against coyotes for decades, and they have more coyotes now than they ever did before. So coyotes are here to stay. Our stance is, you know, if there is a true problem, what can we do to remove that individual coyote? And sometimes, yes, discharging a firearm might hamper your ability. Trapping is very effective, but again, the types of traps you need to use, typically the foothold trap, there are concerns by the private companies that help us remove nuisance wildlife. You know, they get concerns about the negative PR. Even so, you know, a lot of these foothold traps used, even if a pet gets in, it can safely be released. But they just don't even want to deal with the PR of it.
Right.
There are new traps being developed to try to be able to catch coyotes in a suburban environment while also addressing people's concerns about their pets.
Herndon on Facebook writes, "We live in South Charlotte, and our yard backs up against the green space that is attached to the Quail Hollow Golf Course. We see and hear coyotes quite often at any time of the day. I've chased them out of my yard when they would go after my two 20-pound terriers. They jump over our 4-foot fence easily. They've approached our yard at 1 and 4 in the afternoon. Whenever they hear our dogs in the yard, we never leave our dogs out there alone. I always have to be there. We've come to understand that they are there and are not going anywhere. We've lost dogs and cats in our neighborhood." Let's talk about fences, because I did read yesterday that your fence, I think, should not only be impermeable and 6 feet tall, but it should go a couple of feet into the ground so that they can't dig under the fence.
Yeah, if you truly want a coyote-proof fence, I would actually recommend 7 feet, to be honest with you, because a coyote can, if it's motivated enough to go after a dog or cat, it can sometimes jump over a 6-foot fence. So I recommend 7 feet. And again, yeah, buried in the ground just to prevent digging, not only of coyotes, but again, lots of other wildlife, you know, sometimes want to get behind that fence, such as raccoons and foxes, because there might be food on the other side, such as dog food.
Mm. Maddie emails, "Do they use sense of smell to distinguish humans from other animals?"
Well, I'm not sure if they're necessarily distinguishing humans, although I assume we all have a distinctive smell. But they certainly use their sense of smell, just like a lot of other canines, as you know, and guides a lot of their behaviors. Mm-hmm. So I guess, yeah, in a certain roundabout way, I don't know that necessarily smelling a human is going to cause it just to run off.
Michael emails from zip code 28214. We live 8 miles from the center of Charlotte. Recently, we lost a small dog to what we believe were coyotes. He was bitten behind the neck, and the skin was ripped from one leg, looking as though it had been torn or cut with a knife. Does that sound like an attack from coyotes?
Could be. I mean, we have 7% of our observations come from that zip code. So that's a pretty good number.
Yeah. Jess in Charlotte says a coyote jumped out of the creek along the path behind Sedgefield Middle School just 25 feet in front of me as I was walking my new puppy. It looked at us, then trotted away quickly. I appreciated the beautiful wildlife encounter in my urban setting. Is that the way to approach this for the most part?
We find that that's usually how people see coyote. It's not a negative interaction. They see it, and usually there's no issue.
And Suzanne emails, would your guests please comment on the coyote-wolf hybrid that has migrated from the Great Lakes to Virginia? Has this hybrid migrated into North Carolina?
So what she's talking about is when the coyotes started to move from the Great Plains, they took two routes, one north into Canada and kind of one south along the Texas panhandle. When they went north through Canada, we do believe they did interbreed with gray wolves. Mm. And that is one explanation of why the coyotes are larger in the east than the west. And so, yes, there are some wolf genetics in our coyotes.
Roland Kay is the director of the Nature Research Center at North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences, says that coyotes are not so much vicious invaders encroaching on our land as they are new neighbors moving in down the street. We just have to be courteous and a little cautious. Thanks to Colleen Olfenbuttel, certified wildlife biologist with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission, Jay Butvilosky with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, and Chris Matthews with Mecklenburg County Parks and Rec.